Joining us now to talk about Indigenous identity and in the specific issue of Mr. Pell LaFond, who said that she was a Treaty Indian of Cree ancestry, but documents uncovered by an investigation by the CBC indicate she is of entirely European descent. Joining me now is Breen Ouellette. He's a Vancouver-based lawyer of Métis descent. Breen, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Your thoughts on this, I'm still trying to process all of it. Your thoughts on what has transpired over the last few months in regards to Mr. Pell LaFond and how some of these institutions have handled the issue of identity and in this case, bestowing honorary doctorates. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a complicated issue that's more complicated by the law, I think. I think that universities are looking at these as isolated incidents, and I think that's wrong. I think that Pell LaFond is not the first. There was Terry Bourassa. I'm sure there will be more in the future who will be exposed because institutions have not been doing a good job of validating identity. And in the case of Pell LaFond, apparently they haven't been doing a good job of validating academic credentials either. So that's another big issue that they need to address. Mm-hmm. But the Indigenous Women's Collective is calling on all the universities that have issued her honorary degrees to stand tall and follow through on the investigative process to defend academic honesty and honorable conduct. That speaks to my own Indigenous values of accountability, because we're not just talking about Pell LaFond's accountability. We're also talking about the institution's accountability. Mm-hmm. Now, they're going to be looking at it probably from colonial values and legal principles, and they're going to be tempted to drop investigations when Pell LaFond gives up, as UBC did when she resigned, because they're going to be looking at things like the common law principle of mootness, which is the idea that legal proceedings should end if they can't result in a practical outcome between the parties. If she returns her honors, then the institutions will just say, well, it's done. There's no need to keep investigating. And that, to my Indigenous values, and I believe to many other Indigenous people's values, that's a mistake, because while it's true that the universities can't make a determination anymore about their relationship with her if she ends the relationship preemptively, by reviewing the actual specific cases of Bourassa, of Pell LaFond, and others, they can take that opportunity to be open and honest about how they failed as institutions, how they contributed to the Indigenous identity fraud, by taking a person that they should have looked into, they didn't look into, and holding that person up as an example. And if they don't do that, if they try to fall into an academic echo chamber where they're not looking at actual cases that have occurred, they have that opportunity, mm-hmm. They're failing. They're failing on their own accountability.
Why do you think people do this? I'm just trying to understand. Mr. Pell LaFond has, she's made a contribution when it comes to government and some of the policies she's been driving, and she's been vocal on many issues as well. Why do you think these individuals, I know it's a tough question to answer, why do they do this?
Well, I mean, if they won't tell us, all we could do is speculate.
Yeah.
And it could be an issue of initial mistaken identity, and then as time goes on and they get deeper and deeper caught in the quagmire of the mistake, they start to turn it into something more than a mistake. They allow it to become something that they've adopted and they know is wrong, or that they try to, make up excuses for or change the story. That's the issue. If somebody comes to the realization that they've been mistakenly told by their parents, or they've mistakenly identified that they're Indigenous, they should come clean. They should admit it.
Yeah.
They should, there's nothing wrong with admitting you've made a mistake, especially early on when you discover it. That's a whole nother thing to live with it for decades and try to, keep building a career on it.
Yeah. Breen, we've run out of time. Love to have you on again very soon on this issue. Thank you so much for making time for us today. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.